This is David Sastre from Barcelona, Catalonia. These last few days we had what will probably be one of the most important literature festivals in Southern Europe. That is the Cosmopolis 2004 edition. This Cosmopolis International Literature Festival, it's on the second edition. The last one was Cosmopolis 2002. It was a creation of a 1995 exhibition at the Contemporary Center of Art in Barcelona, which had to do with retrospectives, to do with the Argentinian Borges and the as well Argentinian Julio Cortázar and the most famous Prague writer Franz Kafka, among others. This 2004 edition, this Cosmopolis 04 edition, has had lots of things to talk about. Two of the main issues that were spoken about were the War and Peace Roundtable. One of the main things that were released on this Cosmopolis 04 was War and Peace, one of the most delicate roundtables to do in these days. Another theme as well, very, very important, was science fiction, a theme that held Jo Haldeman, Kathleen and Gulen, and most famous Catalan and Spanish writers, that talked about how science fiction is developing right now, what issues does it have to pick up to become science fiction and not just science fact. The classical noir novel was as well present, and two of the most investigated things were as well the Transatlantic Workshop, Beyond the Two Cultures, and one most interesting, Café Europe Havana, to do with the singularities of the countries of Central and Eastern Europe and the reciprocal culture and literary influences that they had in common with Cuba, resulting from the interrelations of the Western canon and from the communist phase in that classical era of the 1900s. In interview with Juan Insua, the director of the Cosmopolis 04, he had these comments about the particularity, the singularity of this literature gathering, which is not really very usual and wants to be a breakthrough from countries like Catalonia or France or Spain. Here are his words.
Mr. Insua, how did you and your team create the concept of Cosmopolis?
Well, the concept of the Cosmopolis Festival was born. The reason was an exhibition of Jorge Luis Borges in two years ago in the Center of Contemporary Culture in Barcelona. And Borges, for me, was an author that connected with the all kind of literatures, because Borges was a man that explored the Occidental canon and connected with genres like science fiction or novel noir, and is an ideal writer to give the conceptual basis to an international festival of literature, because I think the literature is the discourse of freedom and is discourse that can dissolve the mental frontiers and the prejudices of different kind of people. And then I think the idea that Borges was this very amazing, ambitious and generous is a good idea, and is an old idea from the Greeks, the idea of we are citizens of the cosmos, we are citizens of the universe, and it's a very beautiful idea to inspire an international festival of literature.
When you come here to Cosmopolis, you see different issues and themes that apparently one could not find, like there's documentaries, there's hip-hop music, there's normal science fiction, there's
a channel of television dedicated to literature.
As well, so how did you think on putting all of this all together?
Well, I think the will of Cosmopolis is to found a new model of literature festival for this new century. And the mixtures of genres and formats is good, because people think still that literature are only books. But literature, I think, in this moment is the writing word, but the electronic word and the oral word, then I think there are happen a lot of very interesting things. And usually the concept of literature is very restrictive. For that reason, there is sessions of hip-hop, and there is a conference of Cabaret, Mario Vargas Llosa, Robert Coover, and two people so important like Theodore Holm Nelson, that was the creator of the term hypertext and the Xanadu project. I think the principle of Cosmopolis is the creation of a model, of a new model of literary festival, because the conventional festivals or another kind of encounter are very good, but it's done.
Right, because in fact this Cosmopolis is the second edition, and the first one was in 2002 as well in this Contemporary Art Center of Barcelona. Do you think that there has been an evolution from the first edition?
Yes, I think there is a real and concrete evolution, because we have more spaces. In this edition we have two exhibitions and an installation about hypertext, and we have a new space that is the Cosmopolis courtyard, and the reaction of the people and the public is very, very good. I think this edition is a volatile jump.
Talking in specific about the science fiction theme, which was very relevant to this literature festival, were the presence of both Catherine Engulen and Joe Haldeman. Both of them talked to CFRU and expressed their thoughts about differences they find among this kind of literature meetings in Europe and in the States. As well, we could have some words about the creative work about Catherine Engulen.
So, Mrs. Gunnan, how do you find this kind of international literature gathering or festival in comparison to the one you used to go in the States?
Well, in general here, science fiction assumes its rightful place in the field of literature as an important part of literature. My background is in English. My background really isn't in science or in science fiction. So I think that it's a very important literature for our time, and I think that it needs to be foregrounded in this way. Usually, internationally, it is. It's just that in the United States, it is not. It's very marginalized, and a lot of times people will say, ask me what I write, and I say science fiction, and they say, oh, I never read science fiction, which I think is a great shame, because it's a very literate genre, and I think it's one that's very important for our time right now as well.
Because just well, if I read you as well, mixed sort of hard science and music into your books, which makes it even more difficult.
Well, not really, because we all listen to music, and jazz is a very integral part of my books. I really love jazz. I'm happy that jazz is becoming more and more foregrounded, just like science fiction is, because it's an original American art, just like science fiction is. And to mix the two, I mix them in various ways, kind of in a hypertext way in Queen City Jazz, and in a structural way in Crescent City Rhapsody, because I use Duke Ellington's rhapsodies. He wrote some rhapsodies, and I use that as kind of the backbone to the structure of the book. And light music is much more about the fact that we are beings in an informational field of frequencies, and we have evolved basically to make sense of these frequencies with our senses. And hearing is one of these, but also I think that everything combines to be a kind of, to me, a very musical experience. That's what life is to me.
I would like to ask you, since that nowadays science fact is chasing out science fiction, how can we deal with that?
Well, one of the ways in which we can deal with that is that, for instance, my science fiction is so strange that even though when I started writing about nanotechnology, it was not well known in the early 1990s. Now there's a big drive in the United States anyway to make the public more aware of it. My science fiction is so far in the future that it's still very strange, even though the scientific foundations are the same. And also, the books are not just science fact. They aren't textbooks. They're based on character. So I think that makes a huge difference in that if you're writing about something, you know, if you're writing in 1850 about the telephone and the vast changes that are going to come about because of the telephone, by now those books would be outmoded. But I think if you concentrate on character, then readers will always want to know what happens to the characters in their particular fictional world.
Right, so there's always elements to be found and to be used to make it fictional.
Yes.
To overcome reality.
I think so. That's what fiction's all about.
Aldo Haldeman talked to us about the nature of his work, which is to do a lot about the war and the delicate situation of the state of the world these days, and as well some of his words that were present on his conference, which said that if the only inevitable things are death and taxes, it is as well to ask oneself if the institution that unites them, war, is also inevitable. He said that there are aspects of war which don't seem to have changed much from Troy to the Pentagon. This science fiction author, which is very similar to Robert I. Heinlein, had this word for CFRU.
Mr. Haldeman, how do you see this kind of gatherings, religious festival like Cosmopolis in comparison to the conventions or gatherings you go back in the States?
Oh, it's much different from a science fiction convention, of course, because it's more serious in purpose. It's larger in its scope. Typically, a science fiction convention is 90% socialization and 10% seriousness. Since we know only our friends from Barcelona here and a couple of people from the United States, there's not that large an element of socialization.
Right. But so you would say that you don't find the same kind of, as you say, serious gatherings back then?
So there are some, yes, of course. They don't usually intersect with science fiction as closely as this one does. There are, of course, literary gatherings and philosophical gatherings.
Would you do?
Sometimes include science fiction, more often not.
Well, like that. Because as Miguel Barcelona was saying, it's like these crappy generous and about the war. Some people in the States have the same mind about science fiction as well.
Oh, yeah. It's, as we say, it's ghettoized. They have a sense that it's not serious at all and childish or commercial at best.
I thought that people in the States took science fiction more seriously.
And on the contrary, I think that people in some parts of Europe take science fiction much more seriously than in the States. France is very academic about science fiction. And Spain seems to be all right. Spain also sees it as a second-class form of literature in general. But there is a portion of the Spanish public that sees it seriously.
Well, I wanted to ask you as well about these days, in terms of the Chinese part is over becoming science fiction. You can write anything which won't happen in about 15 days' time.
Yeah.
How can you deal with that? I mean, how can you find new elements?
Well, one has to stay abreast of science. There's still plenty of things that haven't happened, things that haven't been discovered. But you don't want to make a fool of yourself predicting something that already happened 2 years ago. So you must know what has happened. Especially in the life sciences. Science fiction until, fairly recently, 10 or so years ago, was driven largely by the physical sciences and by engineering. And now it's more the life sciences and bioengineering that are important in generating new stories, new ideas. And a person who does not keep up to date in that is going to have a difficult time writing relevant science fiction.
Right, so could we say that for a time, science fiction writers have forgotten about real science and they have focused more on social or cultural issues which are not really to do with science fiction?
Well, you could say that. There always have been science fiction writers who were either more interested in social, broad social and historical problems, or were so ignorant of science that they couldn't write anything about science.
Now, as you were saying,
there always have been science fiction writers who are more interested in sociological and historical process than in science. And a lot of science fiction has always been about such things. Some of them write about such things because they're ignorant of science, but some just because they're more interesting to them. I play both sides of the fence.
Okay, so you go to both sides.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I found most interesting is on the description of your conference today. It says that if the only inevitable thing that are that taxes, because what lies oneself is the institution that denies the war itself so inevitable. But most important, there are aspects of war which don't seem to have changed much from Troy to the Pentagon. And we're living in a tax context with everything that's happening around the world. Now, my question is, how can science fiction help on that? I mean, obviously not the war, but on surviving, on helping people open their minds.
Well, science fiction can help by proposing alternatives to the inevitability of war. And it can help by instilling in young people a kind of hopefulness about the future. I think a lot of people, once they reach a certain age, give up ideas of utopianism, idealism, and think that the world is going to be the way it always has been. And in fact, it isn't even now the way it always has been. The world is extremely different from when I was born. And someone who is only 20 can remember a time when the world was extremely different because of the internet, for instance. People are so much more connected all around the world. That has to have a pacifying effect, I believe. I'm in daily correspondence with people from China and Russia and all over the place. That can't but make the world a more peaceful place. You can argue on a keyboard instead of, getting your troops and going off to the border.
It's like Marshall Sanders said, we are living in a big science fiction novel today.
In a sense, we are. But you have to say, we were living in a big science fiction novel in 1900. It was a novel written in 1850. Oh, what a marvelous thing, people flying through the air and and talking on the radio, and oh my, just really marvelous things.
That is true. Now, just to add this, Mr. Silvio, if I may say to you, from what I have read in your biography, your work and even yourself remind me a bit of Heinlein's person aboard West Indies as well, a war veteran, and he had as well war in some of his books, and even he had some women protagonists in his book. Now, are you as pessimistic as Heinlein used to be?
No, I don't think so. Heinlein had a kind of pessimism that's skepticism that's typical of the Ozarks of the center of our country where he came from, a kind of sense that you can't fool me, you know, because I'm already pessimistic, so, you know, don't try to pull one on me. Heinlein and I were much different. We knew him and his wife pretty well. Heinlein was never a soldier, although he wrote about war a lot. And he went to a military academy, a naval academy. And so we sort of agreed to disagree. I have always been a pacifist, even when I was a soldier. And Heinlein respected that, even though he disagreed with it.
They say that all folks. This is David Sastre from Barcelona, Catalonia.